Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
And good morning. Wow, what a great morning it is out there. Sun is shining. It's about 50 degrees out there on our way to the low 70s. Gil Almquist is with me. Gil, is this why we live here or what? I mean, one of the reasons anyway.
Definitely is. And from my office, those big white fluffy clouds yesterday against that blue sky and the green hills starting to come and trees popping, it's why we live here.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. By the way, the rocket from Vandenberg Air Force Base created a kind of a stir because a lot of people didn't know it was happening.
Yeah.
And it was, social media was funny. People were freaking out. What's going on?
End of the world.
Western sky. You couldn't really see the rocket, but you could see the exhaust plumes and everything from it. So. It was a rocket. It was part of Elon Musk's Starlink satellite system that was being launched and is now, there are now 24 Starlinks up there, 24 more Starlinks up in the sky.
That's amazing.
And I imagine they'll, at some point, we'll be able to see them at night going by and people will freak out again. That's the way it goes.
It used to be a rare thing that you would sight a satellite. Now, up in the clear skies of Bryan Head, where we have a cabin, it's easy. There's a lot of them up there.
See, well, why is that star moving? It's not a star.
Exactly.
So Gil is a little bit fatigued right now. You want to tell us why you're so tired, Gil?
Well, 2 days after the thought of actual birth date, my dear daughter-in-law gave birth last night, and we were just anticipating all through the night when and if everyone was going to be okay. And so it was kind of a restless but fun night finally did come, and in the middle of the morning, and we were excited for number eighth
grandchild. And it would be, I guess, March 19th would be the birthday. It was this morning.
March
19th would be the birthday. That's really cool. That's awesome.
I have to remember all these birthdays, so I was kind of hoping that two more days, because then 3 plus 21 would be 24, and then I could remember that.
But it makes sense.
319 works.
You'll never remember it, though.
It's hard, but we have a little cheat calendar that I look at occasionally.
that helps. It helps a lot. All right. Well, mom and baby healthy, though? Everything's
very
good? Does the baby have a name yet?
No, they've been kicking back and forth several names, and the last 6 months, we've all been chiming in, and some goofy and some really serious.
Gil, is it a girl or a boy?
Boy.
It's a boy. Okay, so Gil would be perfect, actually.
Yes, but that's not on the list.
Oh, dang it. We're still trying to think of a better name than Graveyard Wash Reservoir.
Oh, I got it, yes.
I got a bunch of suggestions, but so far haven't heard any official word on what they're going to call that thing when it comes about. But it can't be Graveyard Wash Reservoir. No.
No, and
that's terrible.
You wonder how it even got that name to begin with. But
I know the story. You know the story?
I don't.
Apparently, back in the day, back when everybody, you know, there were no cars and everybody had farm animals and stuff. Mm. If your animal was sick and dying, you would either push it down the hill or you would send it down the hill to spend its last moments. And then it could decompose, or to put it nicely, down there at the bottom of the graveyard wash.
I see.
It got its name, and that's not a good name.
No, well, that soil should be fertile.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Fertile and lots of bones, I guess. And you don't want to be swimming in the graveyard wash and have a bone, you know, step on a bone or something. So
that boneyard wash.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Almquist Reservoir.
There we go.
Something like that. I don't know. Gil, of course, is a county commissioner. He's been doing this how long now? You've been county commissioner?
Well, this is my second term, and I'm in my second year. So
6 years.
Starting my sixth year, yeah.
Nice. What does Gil Almquist, 6 years in, know that Gil Almquist, when he was newly elected, didn't know?
You know, it's interesting. Even though I was in politics and government, I wasn't in county government. Uh-huh, and that has been a great learning experience. There's 9 elected officials in a county.
People don't know that usually. They just think of the 3 commissioners.
Right, but then there's the sheriff, recorder, treasurer, assessor, clerk, auditor, et cetera, attorney. But all of that has become a great learning curve for me, and it's wonderful that we all get along.
Yeah,
it's not that we are lockstep in agreement on everything, but we work things out, and that's been wonderful. I loved working with Dean Cox, but also really love working with Adam and Victor, and we make a good team. Just yesterday, I love it when Victor says, because we'll put out an idea, or our excellent county administrator, Nicole Felshaw, will say something, and Victor will say, well, let me just push back gently on that. And that's one of his sayings. But
that means I disagree.
And yet we find common ground, yeah. And it ends up being the right thing. So
very cool.
It's been fun to work with them, and I truly enjoy all of the employees that we have are hardworking. They show up and do their job, and we really appreciate that.
Now, Dean was older than you, but yes. The other two guys, they're younger than you. So you're kind of the senior guy now.
Yes. Victor is senior in the fact he's been commissioner the longest. I'm senior by age. Okay. And then we call Adam the Padawan. We're raising him. Yeah. That's what we say.
Yeah. The young
and he
guy.
Hates it.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Yeah.
They're all great.
Did you get him a lightsaber yet? Or?
No. You should.
Okay, so, and by the way, I have an older sister, but she looks younger, and she acts younger, and she is not younger. She's much smaller than me, and sometimes people say, hey, is this your little sister? No, that's not that's my older sister. Come on. But, yeah. But, now, you were telling me before we came on the air, something that's happening up, still in Washington County, but just up north of here, New Harmony area, that I had no idea about, and maybe I had heard once, but I dismissed it because it was that far north, but this is actually going to be pretty big.
Yes, a huge impact. I've always loved New Harmony area. Mm-hmm. And
my parents lived there 14 years.
Yeah. There you go. You know what the story is. There's unincorporated New Harmony, and then there's the town of New Harmony, right. Which is really quite small, but they have their mayor and council. Mm-hmm. But in the unincorporated area, Highway 144, which was gifted to us from UDOT to the county, mm-hmm. is the boundary on the north side of the road with Iron County.
Okay.
And a developer has proposed that they want to put in this mega development in there.
So just to help people, orient people, so Canaraville is Iron County.
Iron County, yes.
New Harmony is Washington County.
Yeah, the Texaco station that's right there barely in Washington County. And on the right-hand side of the road, if you're heading into New Harmony, on the right-hand side is all Iron
County.
That's
Iron, okay. So that is the border.
Right. And we own the entire part of the road, so this development, to gain access to it, comes on Washington County property.
Uh-huh.
And so we are trying to steer the development in such a way, we can't tell Iron County what to do, no more than they could tell us, right?
Right.
And so, though the commissioners there are friends of mine, they're in favor of this project, but there's sewer to think about, water supply, and obviously the developer is thinking of all of those things.
Now, how big is this thing?
I think it's 800 lots and a commercial center and a sewage treatment plant. I mean, it's big. And for New Harmony, it's huge.
if you do say three people per rooftop in the houses, we're talking about a minimum of 2,500 people and probably more than that, but that's big. New Harmony is what, 500 people? The actual town?
Right. Yeah. There's actually 1,000 voters up there, but the town itself is a portion of that 1,000 registered voters.
So this is going to change the face of the New Harmony Valley area.
Right. We're pro-property rights, but we've also said in Washington County, tell us what you're going to do ahead of time, because as we just had a town hall up there.
Okay, 70, tell us about that.
70 people attended.
Are people mad? Are they happy? Are they what's the feeling?
They're happy with Washington County. They're not happy with Iron County.
Really?
The reason why they're happy with us is that we've made we've requested that Iron County toe the mark on how's the road going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Is there a transportation study for the interchange? Is your sewer going to contaminate our wells, that water flows downhill, right?
Right.
And sometimes soupy water flows downhill.
That could be a fiasco.
But they say they're going to process the water and then they're going to use it internally like we do, which is smart, to reuse the water on landscaping, on their tree-lined streets and things like that. If they really do that, that's great. And there's no reason not to suspect that they will.
But you did start that sentence with the word if.
But we want to make sure, you know, and then they're getting their water on the Canaryville side of the freeway, so they have to go under the freeway to get the water over there. There's certain requirements that we would have, whether they're in our county or not, that we would ask for. And so we're asking Iron County to be respectful of those requests.
And how has that been received?
So far, their planners have said, oh, we'll make sure they do all of those things. But their whole way of developing land is different than ours as far as the process goes. Hmm. So at certain stages where they say yes, 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 where do they say no? Because they're leading on a developer. In Washington County, we say check all these boxes first. Mm-hmm. And we don't have this sort of staged, you know, you can go to the dance, but oh, wait, I'm not going to dance with you. That's not fair. So
no, it's not.
But we're all subdivisions of the state, and the state has some overarching ways that they will allow us to develop land and plan for it, and in accordance with certain state codes. So we're following ours, and they're following theirs. But we'll yet see just what impact this has. The residents up there were very appreciative of our planning staff and Scott Messel and his team, because they've been going up there for months now to try and help New Harmony area develop an overlay zone, which basically tells somebody ahead of time, if you want to develop land in here, comply with this overlay zone, which if you own a bunch of acreage and you want to subdivide it in a bunch of little lots, that's not in harmony, so to speak, with the rural setting that's there.
Yeah.
But maybe you cluster homes in a corner of that and put the rest in a conservation easement. You still get to develop, but maybe at a different level that will be more palatable to everyone who's moved there for a certain reason. But believe me, there's all sorts of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, folks that live in communities around here, and we're not going to let them, the tail wag the dog, but we want to respect the tail at the same time.
If you head up north on the freeway, there's already a bunch of houses there.
Yes.
And then if you keep going up north, one of the things that's startling to me is when you get close to Santaquin, you're still, you know, you're up north and you look off to the left before you ever get to Santaquin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of houses there that just 10, 15, 20 years ago weren't there.
Correct.
And so I'm thinking about now New Harmony. Once you get maybe exit 42 and you look to the left, there's nothing but fields for the most part.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, right? There's going to be a big, giant something there.
There's other things at play, which the reason on the Iron County side they have to have a sewage treatment facility. I don't want to say plant because people think it's a giant thing, but it's still going to be big enough to handle that many homes. But in other areas of the county, the density is dictated by, for example, a septic tank, if that's your answer. How many acres can you have? And it ranges from, you got to have 5 acres for one home for a septic to 8, 10, 12. It just depends on the underlying soil and what kind of pollutants it can take and purify before it gets to the water source. So that's going to dictate a lot of the density in that valley. Now, up by Santaquin, they may have sewer. So I don't know. That they may have started at septic, and then they all paid and pitched in to say, hey, there's too many homes, we need to have sewer. Okay. But for us here, there's some limiting factors by septic.
So we have in the ultimate water authority, of course, in our county, is the Washington County Water Conservancy District.
Yes.
Is there an Iron County, an arm of the Water Conservancy in that county? And how will that then affect this subdivision they're proposing? And of course, then the Ash Creek, which is turning into the Chief Toker Reservoir. How does that all work?
They have an equivalent sort of diagnosis of water usage and a board that covers that. But there was one gentleman in the open forum that we held up there at the mm-hmm. library in mm-hmm. New Harmony that said, I don't think Canaraville's water supply that they allege to have the rights to can supply enough water for all these homes.
No,
so that analysis will have to be made by Iron County's own board. And there again, we require that right up front in Washington mm-hmm. County. Prove up the water before we lead you down a path.
And they don't.
Maybe. We haven't been privy to all of the back discussions about water, but there's some pretty savvy people in that valley that know how much water they have, the rights to it. Are they senior rights? Can I drill a well? All the water is still controlled by the state water purveyor.
Yeah.
And so I've yet to see the actual document that says, absolutely, you have enough water for those homes.
Yeah, and we may never see one, or we may see one. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know there's a city here in the county who is issuing building permits all over the place, and they actually say right on the building permit, you can build as long as there's enough water. They don't say you can build because there's enough water. They say you can build if there's enough water. Mm-hmm. And there might be some builders in, you know, 2 years or 3 years or 5 years who might be surprised when they want to develop or build and there's not water to supply that, whatever they're building. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, thanks to the Water Conservancy District. Thanks to our residents who are conserving. They are taking out grass, which takes a lot of water. They're putting mm-hmm. in drought-tolerant bushes. Some of them are taking out grass without asking for the rebate from the Washington County Water Conservancy District, which is $2 a square foot if you apply and are approved. But some are doing it on their own, and I'm sorry to say their yards have turned into ugliness. Mm. And so we have to be cautious about our neighborhoods to say, okay, take out the grass, but let's at least have it look nice.
And by the way, for those that don't know, Gil's previous life before he was a commissioner, he was a landscaper. That
42
was
years.
He knows a lot about this particular area.
And it can look nice without using a lot of water. You can take out your grass and plant drought-tolerant trees and bushes and still have a nice yard.
I'm curious about this, Gil, and you dealt with these people a lot during the course of your career, the people that grow turf, and there's some prominent ones here in town. And,
yeah.
You know, our backyard when I lived in Washington City was up against a turf farm.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like to me that they might be like, hey, why is the government, you know, fighting against us? Their marketing campaigns and their rules and their rebates are all to get rid of, you know, to hurt our business, it feels like. Is that valid?
I guess you could say that about a lot of products that have come on the market and
that's
suddenly
true.
They get changed. But I actually talked with one of those. I bought turf from them for years and years and years. And they said, well, we actually sell out every year still.
Really?
Because you still are allowed by certain regulations and the home builders and other cities cooperated in figuring out what would be a reasonable amount of lawn somebody could have in their front yard or even in their backyard.
Yeah.
And those are still imposed, but because of all the building that's gone on the last 5-10 years, they sold out their turf, even at the lesser allowed amount. So, but you're right. The reality is that may be, I wouldn't say a dying breed, because we still need turf for various things and our own aesthetics. You can't have it all in artificial. But sod is part of the reason we save water is that people are taking out their sod. That's not used at all, hardly.
Yes,
mostly just visual.
As Zach Grenstrom always likes to say, if the only time you walk on your grass is to mow it, you probably don't need it.
Yeah.
So
there's that balance with the amount of water that that we have. And for the building permit, which brought this up, that you said, hey, you may not have water when you decide to build. Hopefully that's not the alarming thing that some people might have to face. And cities shouldn't really be making those promises without that water secured.
I agree. Yeah.
But again, we're the unincorporated county, so it's hard for us to tell municipalities what to do, but Zach can twist their arm a bit.
Do you, on this New Harmony thing, do you feel like it's going to go forward? And if so, how long before we see, you know, houses start popping up on the left side of the freeway as we're heading north to Cedar? Yeah.
Haven't seen their timeline, but they are, say they're ready to go with most things in place. They're just waiting on the zoning. I hope that the owners are actually going to develop it and not just flip it once they, you know, get the zoning or the approvals and they say, okay, now it's worth three times as much. We're out. We'll sell it to somebody else. I know one of the owners, really good guy, and I'm hoping, based on his comments to me, no, we're going to develop it ourselves. So let's hope that they do. But timeline, I don't know. But
technically, it's in Iron County, the development, but the road they use is a Washington County road.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's like having a neighbor walk through your yard to get to their house. Well, maybe you want to mow my lawn once in a while or repair my sidewalk.
At least bring me a donut every once in a while, like Gil did for me today. All right, we're going to get a weather break, and we'll have more with County Commissioner Gil Almquist here on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show today. It's 9:34. With me is Gil Almquist, the County Commissioner here in Washington County. Gil, thanks again for coming by. We
always
really
nice.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Now, in Washington County, actually a lot of the state of Utah, the county clerk auditors are they're in charge of the voting, whether it's for cities or whatever it is. They turn to the county and say, hey, will you help us? Because you guys have the equipment and the personnel to get it taken care of. And that includes primaries as well, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about...
Well, the Democrats in our area, those registered Democrats, had a primary.
All seven of them. No, I'm just kidding.
I think it was 3,000 some odd votes cast. So, and
we have 3,000 Democrats, registered Democrats in Washington County.
Yes.
That actually surprises me.
Probably more. Wow. Many that didn't get out. But, anyway, well-respected group of folks that I've known many for years, and they had their primary. But because Ryan Sullivan, great clerk auditor with his staff, Melanie Applin-Elp and others, decided that we are going to have perfect elections here, no matter what that took.
Okay.
And that we were going to make sure every ballot was counted, that it was counted properly, that, first of all, that they were legal to cast a vote or receive a ballot.
That makes sense, yeah.
And that there were certain ways to do that. And so Ryan has geared up to make sure that not only are the machines that are counting accurate, not connected to the internet, not connected to somebody sitting across the street in a car that seems it wants to hack it, but rather that it simply functions as it is to count ballots and dots on a ballot, right? So in order to do that, people have been saying, well, you need to hand count the entire, every ballot that
Everything,
came through.
Yeah.
Technically, they actually look at those that the machine kicks out and says, something's wrong with this ballot, and they do an eyeballs on that ballot.
Yeah.
Did somebody hit two boxes?
And I can attest to you, I've had them actually call me and say, hey, there's a problem with your ballot, but for me, it was the signature doesn't match. Is this, in fact, your ballot? Did you vote for these people? And I was able to confirm it. And that actually made me feel really good about the process.
So that's important that you have that security level. But then what Ryan has done is said, well, we'll hand count more. And he took the entire Democrat ballots cast for their primary and hand counted it with the team. And guess what? 100%
exactly.
Perfect match.
That's awesome.
With the machine to the hand count.
And that, first of all, that says a lot about the hand counters because it's a lot easier to make mistakes that way. Yeah.
Right. The human error is, you know, of course, people that were just hammering on us, saying, you guys are corrupt. You commissioners don't listen to us. We want to go back to in-person voting. And a lot of that, to quite frankly, I wouldn't mind that if we could actually, with a population manageable, but we've got so many people here now that it's, and so many people that want to vote, they can't leave their home. We do have a lot of retired folks that love getting that ballot in the mail, et cetera. But the onus is on us now to make sure that it's done right. And another hand count that occurred. Plus, if I jump off of that topic real quick, Gary Christensen, our recorder, has a program that secures your property. You hear of LifeLock and all of these groups that
don't let your
steal your title or change your title. He has a program that we in Washington County invite everyone to sign up for because it will do the same thing.
Does that include city residents of a certain city? Or is it just countywide? Everyone.
On all of whatever recording titles that we have.
Okay.
What it says to our group, the recorder's office is, if somebody comes in here and tries to change the name on the title to your property or some declaration that people are fearful of, and it does happen, but maybe not as often as
the commercials make you think.
Yeah. But I encourage people to sign up for it because the state legislature this year.
So will it send a notification out?
It red flags it and they contact you and say,
perfect.
Are you really trying to do this? And what some people do is they change from, personal ownership to a trust.
Right.
Or they might legitimately be changing that. Maybe they're gifting it or to a child or something.
This keeps an eye on stuff for
you. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It lets somebody know, hey, I've got a level of protection here. And it's amazing because the state legislature was concerned with this and they didn't know, even our local legislators didn't know that Gary had that program installed. And so, hey, we are ahead of the game, let's say.
I like it. I really like it. And that's no offense to LifeLock or whoever else is selling
whatever they want to do.
The insurance to cover you. But it's nice to know that, that Gary and that the county recorder has your back.
First line of defense.
I think a lot of people have had this. We get a notification from our credit card company anytime there's an unusual charge.
Sure.
Whether it's maybe an unusual location or an unusual amount. If all of a sudden there's a $270 charge on your card, credit card company said, well, they'll just send us a text or an email and say, is this legitimate? I like that. And some people, they're just another stupid. No, I like the idea that, they're kind of keeping an eye. They have a fraud department keeping an eye out just in case something isn't right. And we've actually caught people. Someone in Florida was trying to buy a surfboard on our credit card number. Yeah. No, we weren't in Florida. No, we didn't buy a surfboard. The credit card company was able to deny that. So
I like that too. And especially we travel occasionally out of country and we get back the very next day and try to buy something here and they say, wait, you just bought something in Mexico.
Yeah.
Or you just bought something in Europe.
Yeah, it's true. By the way, if you want to call and ask Commissioner Almquist a question, it's 673-5890. That's the phone number. Or you can text me at 467-5842. I think we have, there we go. We do have a caller online. On line one is, Dale. Dale, are you with us, man?
I am.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, I have a question. I maybe you've already addressed it, but what can the county commissioners do to avoid us having to pay taxes on all those sports arenas up north and also for the Winter Olympics if we get it? Because I realize there are people who are going to drive to the Winter Olympics, but very few, and it will cost millions to host the Winter Olympics, which means more tax money. What can we do to make sure us down here in the southwestern part don't have to pay taxes?
Well, Dale, you are my new hero.
He's on it, yeah.
Bringing it up because when we first heard that was proposed and that there was going to be a fairly massive increase in transient room tax, so that wouldn't be your property tax per se, but it is those who pay that heads and beds here for a hotelier.
And it might take away some of what we would have gotten.
And our hoteliers were especially against that. We have an association here. But as commissioners, all three of us were totally against it because it kind of prices you out of the market, per se. And not that I travel somewhere and make my decisions on where I'm going based on what their tourism tax is. Right. But it trickles into the idea that one headline comes out and says, Southern Utah, not the deal it used to be. You know, you get into the nitty gritty of it and somebody's saying, oh, who cares? It's like $3 or $4 more a night. What's the deal? And yet, in reality, that has a lasting effect. So anyway, to cut to the quick, we were against it. And boy, did we all of a sudden stand out in the field by ourselves up at the legislature.
So Duchesne County and Carbon County, they were okay with it.
They have an issue with tourists that impact their search and rescue or their EMS, and so there was some money in the bill that would go to them, and therefore they were, to me, it was drinking the Kool-Aid because it was an enticement that really wasn't a financial boon to those counties because it was based on their tourism tax to begin with. And if they didn't have much of that coming in, they weren't going to get much of that 0.1% to help them with their search and rescue, et cetera. Right. Whereas our local representative, Joe Elison, had a bill which would have pretty much solved a lot of EMS needs on a sales tax base in these counties, as well as, generally help them with those tourism-related expenses. Nevertheless, we were all of a sudden like, whoa, I thought we had friends.
Yeah.
Luckily, our local legislators looked into the bill that was proposed and said, that's not good for us. And they stood their ground and tried to convince our senators of the same, and they eventually came up with a new plan to get baseball in Salt Lake and pay for it differently. But, you know, we had the Super Bowl 113 miles away from us,
right,
and we can't say that one person stayed in a hotel. Now, if somebody's going to have Major League Baseball in Salt Lake, they were saying, oh, well, people will come down and they'll be here. And
no.
I love baseball. I'm addicted to my Dodgers and others. I follow all kinds of teams. But I got to tell you, we can't make that connection, you know, 340 miles away when we can't make it for the Super Bowl 113 miles away.
Yeah. St. George is not going to benefit from a Major League Baseball team in Salt Lake City. Just putting it simply, it's not.
And I want other counties and the city, Salt Lake, to be able to improve their land and their ground. And the Millers are generous with their monies and have been over years and various things, even down here, donations they've made, mm-hmm, mostly for the arts. But I got to tell you, that was a private sort of business, want to say that had a public nexus somewhere, but not necessarily with Washington County.
Yeah.
And we provide we're the third largest transient room tax paying county in the state. But we didn't get one word that this was coming down in the last week and a half of the legislature.
And they wanted our money.
And $7+ million would have gone up north that we would have collected. And I don't know that we would have had a direct benefit from that at all.
Bottom line, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And they also, by the way, you're saying, well, you could have had that EMS money come in. No, they excluded second-class counties. So we wouldn't have even gotten the 0.1%.
So somebody was saying, and actually I was talking with Jordan Hess. He said they kind of got a little vindictive after Washington County stood up. They kind of got a little vindictive about it.
They pushed back hard, in fact, to the point where they said, temporarily, they said, maybe, you know, you say some things when you're not happy, and that was, well, whatever request they want from us this year, they can forget about it.
Huh.
Now,
you're not going to play ball? I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah, they were legitimate infrastructure requests for water improvements to the airport and some other things, and they came around and said, oh, yeah, no, we really need to fund those things, for which we are very, very grateful to our senators for that and to our representatives.
All right, let's go to line one. Richard on line one. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Oh, taxes. Good subject. Hate it. But anyway, a couple things. You remember when we had the first Olympics here?
Mm-hmm.
It was the first thing they did for infrastructure, slap like a 5%, 5 cent gas tax on.
Right.
And it never came off. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. far we fought off this gondola going up one of the canyons for the benefit of the ski resorts and traffic.
Solitude or one of those,
$500 million plus. But, you know, the money's up there, so it's going to happen. And we get a foot back because I'm sure they'll put that on a gas tax. You know, I like to look at the budget. You know, remember when Huntsman became governor? You know what our state budget was? $3.5 billion.
Yeah, it was.
That was less than, that was about 20 years ago.
Yep, now it's 10 times that.
Wow.
Almost 9 times that.
Gotta love taxes, don't we? Jeez.
Well,
yeah. My road's still falling apart.
A booming economy in Utah has helped to raise that budget, but at the same time, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and my property taxes have 10 times since I bought this home 25 years ago, so yeah, I guess we're keeping up.
Well, the school district, state school tax has gone up tremendously over the last 4 or 5 years, and the county tax has not, but it's gone up a little, but not nearly what some of these other. Look at your tax bill, and you'll see the pie chart this year that shows
so
you just the percentage. Pardon?
What is state school tax for? Is that the money they dangle in front of the counties to get them to toe the line and do what they want?
You know, I don't know what their actual budget is, where all that money goes, but I know that it promotes education throughout the state and may even, I don't know. That's a good question, Richard. I can't answer that exactly what the state sales tax goes for, but it includes higher ed. It includes a lot of things.
I got to get a commercial break in. I did want to, before we go to break, I got a text said, it went away. Here we go. How do I register for, you were talking about the home title protection.
Go in to see the recorder's office right there on
the
first floor.
Can you do it online or do you need to actually go in?
I would probably say go in.
Okay. Go in and just say I want to register.
I imagine you could
that.
Look at our website, you know, but it might be nice to meet our great folks that work there and have them take it personally.
Okay. No, that's cool. But otherwise it won't, that won't really go into place unless you actually activate.
Yes,
you go and tell them
you have to sign up for it.
Okay, very good. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
9:53, we're running short on time, and so if you want to get your words in with County Commissioner Gil Almquist, it's now or never. 673-5890 is the telephone number if you want to be on the program, and 467-5842 if you want to text me, and again, those are both 435 area codes, so 673-5890 to call, and 467-5842 to text in. That is my cell phone. You're texting me. I get texts all throughout the day if something is of concern to people, and I don't mind at all. Don't call me, because I probably won't answer it if I don't recognize the number, but I will answer your text. So.
Yeah, perfect.
Gil, thanks for being here today, especially considering you got very little sleep. You were doing grandpa duties as a new baby born early this morning.
I always worry about the mom.
Yeah?
And
this is your daughter?
Yeah, daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law,
Ashlyn.
Okay.
She's amazing. She chose to go to a birthing center.
Oh, really? Not the hospital?
And they treated her like royalty.
Oh, that's awesome.
In a hot bath or a warm bath. And they had, she was funny, she goes, and they brought in croissants with and Costco treats and the atmosphere. They had like the aromatherapy going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's had two, one at the hospital and one at the birthing center, and she liked this one.
She's a big believer in the birthing center.
Yeah, now she is, but it's not for everyone, you know.
Right.
And so you always worry about complications if something arises, then it's across the street to the hospital real quick. But everything went fine.
That's good to hear.
Can I give a shout out to Eric Clark, our county attorney?
Of course.
a lot of people say, you know, what are you doing about crime in your area? And Eric will say, well, we're prosecuting people. Mm. We're not going to let them go. Now, certain laws and certain judges let even those who you and I would say, whoa, why are they able to bail out? Why are they set free or whatever? There's got to be a certain level of prosecution that people fear committing a crime. And if that's not the case, then you get the mayhem that you have in some states across the country where people just do whatever they want to do and they don't care.
Yeah.
But Eric is on to issues with the Northern Corridor. We could have an entire program. You would be devastated to see what the federal government's shenanigans are as of late. There's some evil partners there that we should be able to do things. In fact, one of them said once, oh, Congress, yeah, they said you could have the Northern Corridor, but Congress doesn't understand our policy. Mm. Excuse me?
Wow.
Congress created you.
Yeah.
Now, just because you're part of the bureaucracy doesn't mean you can hurt us. So, but he and the team are fighting hard and sure appreciate him.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show. I don't know that I've ever had Eric on the show. And, you know, the thing about lawyers is they can't always say, like because of the rules and the law, they can't always say what they really think or even what the whole story is. And
right.
So that makes it hard to have attorneys on sometimes.
He's a little nervous because I think 2020 did a special on him, and it's going to be on TV this Friday, I guess,
really?
Or something. And not on him, but on the case in Kayenta with the children. Hildebrand and something. I don't remember.
The two influencers or whatever they call themselves.
So Eric, that gained some national spotlight, and Eric is going to be on part of 2020 or whatever.
Did they
shows.
Make him wear makeup?
I
know
maybe.
Those national TV people, they come in and they start putting stuff on your I've done a couple of TV spots, and I'm like, what are you doing to me? And they're like, well, your forehead was a little shiny. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Andy, you're glowing too much.
Yeah, apparently the lights don't go well with the shiny forehead or something like that. So,
but thank you for your years of service to the county, to the community, on the radio and in the batter's box, so to speak, on sports that you've covered for all these years.
A long time, yeah. I guesstimate I've done somewhere in the neighborhood, if we count Dixie Collins games, which I did for 17 years, and high school games, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 sports broadcasts over the years. So, and I still don't get it right. I'm still working on it. So,
it amazes me what stats that they keep. Yeah. You know, it's almost like, well, that's the fifth free throw he's made while wearing those shoes on a Saturday.
You know, and while we have a minute, a tribute to Larry Jewell. Remember Larry?
Yes.
He's such a legend here in town.
That's right.
I have a pretty good memory, and I'm proud of that. But compared to Larry Jewell, my memory's nothing. That guy was he was one of those guys. Someone would come like to the free throw line or come to the plate, and he goes, "I remember when they were in fourth grade. You know, he hit 475 with 18 home runs," and I'm like, How do you even know that? And then how do you remember that?
Yes.
You know, but Larry can do it. He was amazing. Died of brain cancer, but. A while back, but he was. I had the privilege of doing a few games with him. We broadcast. You remember the minor league baseball team we had here in town?
Uh-huh.
We broadcast on TV. It was on the local TV channel. Their very first game. Now, unfortunately for us, it turned out to be like 19-14 or something, and it lasted 4.5 hours.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I love baseball like you do, but after about three and a half hours, that's enough baseball, right? And it just kept going and
Can
going.
Somebody please and going. Strike out, yes.
It seemed like every 5 minutes there was a pitching change, and then, of course, then you have the whole and everything. So, but I've had the great privilege of being a part of sports here for a long time. So,
well, thanks for having live radio and local issues.
It's a big part of the community, and I've sat in meetings with people who are really smart and make a lot of money, and I've tried to explain to them how important local radio is because. With social media, the way it is and everything, everybody has access to everything. But there's something about local radio That just makes it all, ties it all together.
And there have been a few that have live shows that beat up on us all the time.
Yeah, I won't do that. No.
But the point I'm making is we support their efforts, whatever it is. We're not censoring or shutting anybody up. Live radio is a good medium for getting the word out.
He's Gil. I'm Andy. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.